Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. There has been a tremendous effort toward getting young students into online learning from kindergarten through high school. The students are meeting their teachers and classmates online. They are in video conferences. They're using homework packets and Chromebooks. On the college level, the transition happened in some cases even faster, and students have been full-time online for a few weeks. Joining me by phone right now is the Chancellor of UC Davis, Gary May. And Chancellor May, I'm glad to have you back with us on Insight.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Would you give me a sense of your campus right now?
Sure. Our campus is on what we call suspended operation, which means most of the in-person activities have been suspended or canceled, meaning there's no in-person classroom activity. We have only essential employees on the campus, people that are taking care of animals and things that can't stop, and there's some limited construction that's happening on campus. But this is very similar to the way we were operating during the fires last year, so We have some experience with this.
Meanwhile, so much of the student body stayed in class online. Although I'm sure some decided because of the challenges or the difficulty this wasn't going to happen, do you have a sense of how many people you've retained?
Yeah, actually, surprisingly enough, we have a normal spring quarter from the undergraduate enrollment standpoint. We have more than 28,000 students enrolled. Most of those are being instructed via remote mode instruction. On the campus, physically, we have about a little less than 800 students in the dormitories, and that's down from the usual number would be somewhere around 8,000, so a factor of 10 fewer. And these are students, international students and others who didn't have any other choice other than to live with us on our campus. And some of the students are students who are domestic but have decided that it's a better learning environment for them to be on the campus due to access to Wi-Fi and other things. So, but about 800 students on the campus.
So how is the UC system and then UC Davis individually navigating policy and decision-making right now? Is the California legislature, the governor's office weighing in? Are you interfacing with county health departments?
Yeah, well, certainly we are in compliance with the governor's shelter-in-place order for the state. And in terms of decisions that we make, operational decisions day-to-day, we confer with the county public health officials in both counties. You know, we have a campus in Davis and one in Sacramento. And we are in regular communication with the Office of the President of the University in Oakland and my fellow chancellors. We have regular calls. We're coordinating and our activities and our decision-making.
What are the immediate decisions that have to be made right now? Most schools have already dealt with summer school, but what's on your plate?
Well, summer is one. We haven't made an announcement yet about summer, but I expect that summer instruction will continue in this same mode. And just yesterday, we announced that we would be postponing our commencement ceremony for the spring, and we would do a virtual ceremony in June, but have an in-person ceremony, we hope, later in the year, possibly in December, when the students are back. So those are the sort of things that we're deciding right now.
I said that colleges shifted online pretty quickly. Will you tell me a bit about how your faculty adapted to this? And for so many teachers, this was a brand new experience.
Yeah, that's true. And I couldn't be prouder, I must say, of our faculty and how they've responded to this new normal. We first announced to the campus that we were moving to what I called maximum flexibility on instruction in early March. And that's as the virus was becoming more and more of an issue locally. And that meant that the faculty were encouraged to put their materials online and deliver remote instruction, but weren't required to. As we progressed through time and the situation worsened, we then required all of our final exams to be done remotely or online. And then finally, we got to the status that we are now, where we're completely remote instruction. And our faculty have really stepped up to the plate, and through a variety of resources that we've helped with. We have a very excellent undergraduate education unit that provides resources for faculty to use and to teach online. But in what is very much an adverse set of circumstances, some of our faculty have children themselves who have been sent home from school because of the virus, and they have to take care of them. And some of them have elderly parents that they're taking care of, and some have both, right? And at the same time, they're expected to teach their classes using these remote tools. So I couldn't be more proud of how they've responded and are giving really high quality instruction to our students.
College campuses have health services, but I haven't even heard the question asked, so I certainly don't know what the situation is with testing on campus. If a student is sick and needs some sort of health support, what's available?
We don't do the COVID testing on campus. However, we are able to refer the students to the county health officials to get the determination on whether they need a test if they're showing some symptoms. And fortunately, UC Davis Health right now is able to perform the test and is ramping up to, I think we're at about 400 tests a day with capacity to get to 1,000 tests a day. So we're able to use our own resources in that respect. I am really happy and I guess we've been somewhat lucky that we don't have any confirmed cases of COVID-19 on the Davis campus. And right now we only have one person under investigation. Person is exhibiting symptoms.
Chancellor May, I'm sure you saw that there's emerging racial data actually this week on who's testing positive and who's dying from this disease. The California data is early. It's limited in terms of its scope. It shows a lower impact to African Americans than perhaps the rest of the country, with the Asian numbers being higher and then higher still, the positive cases and deaths among Hispanics, Latinos. Could you give some context to why this data is important, and what are these numbers saying to you?
Yeah, well, I've read some of the reports. I'm not an expert in this field, but I can tell you what I think is happening. People of color in general are going to have a harder time complying with working from home type of orders because many of their professions don't allow them to do that. And so their exposure is going to be greater. And those that can work from home are often in more densely populated areas, inner cities and housing projects and similar sorts of situations. And on top of that, health and healthcare disparities are greater among people of color. So people that may have some condition that compromises their immune system are more susceptible to the virus. And I think that is both encouraging the contagion to spread as well as making it more difficult for people to recover. So I think all those things are contributing to that data.
And again, I'll emphasize that this is just early research, early data, without the whole picture being scraped, as the governor likes to say. I do want to talk about your campus, the expectations of the work and the research that might be done there. This goes to international health issues. The 1980s brought work on AIDS and HIV. I remember as a young reporter working so often with Dr. Murray Gardner and his team and Dr. Jonas Salk in those days with such high hopes and effort toward a vaccine. What's the extent of UC Davis's role right now in COVID-related work?
Well, we're really actively engaged in being part of that solution. We just announced yesterday a new web-based COVID tracking system that I hope help people identify where the disease is spreading. But we have an active COVID-19 research working group that we formed. That's more than 300 of our faculty and researchers on campus that are involved in that, and everything from clinical trials, vaccines to, the engineering folks are making ventilators and ventilator parts, mask making, helping with the PPE, personal protective equipment, supply chain, a whole variety of activities. And I'm very proud of that group of people as well. They have weekly town halls, and their town halls are so full that they are exceeding the Zoom limit of 300 people on the call. So,
wow.
A lot of activity at UC Davis, all working toward the solutions that we need for COVID-19.
A little later in this hour, you might know that Dr. Andy Jones from your campus, who set up a lot of the understanding of technology on campus, is going to join us for a little lesson in how to get to Zoom, how to connect your family this weekend, because
yeah.
It's a great tool. It's also one we need to be a little bit careful of. What are your hopes, Chancellor May? What's your message to campus and the student body about what you hope we're moving to as this year goes on?
Well, I've been pretty consistent with the message to this campus. I give an update every week, and I always end with, you know, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through it together. I think everyone, you know, working hard, allowing some flexibility and some empathy and some kindness toward each other, because we're all in different situations that we've never faced before. And I think that with everyone pulling in the same direction, that we're going to get through this. And I think we'll get through this better and stronger than we were before.
Hmm. Thank you, as always, for your time. Stay safe, take care, and all the best to everybody at UC Davis.
Thank you very much for having me, Beth, and you stay safe as well.
Thank you. That is UC Davis Chancellor Gary May. Now we have Dr. Robert Nelson on the phone. He's president of Sacramento State. And Dr. Nelson, so glad to have you on Insight today as well.
Thank you for having me, Beth.
You posted a video to the student body, and it was so humbling to watch you say, I've never taken a class online. I've never taught a class online. I don't know if I would even know how to be in this existence, but this college has risen up in a brand new way around you. And I think that your compassion in approaching it is what people use as a magnet toward the center. So tell me how it is.
It's amazing. Who would have ever thunk that we would be here? I would never have thought of this. And to ask the faculty to go online so quickly and to take care of the students and to be there for them so strongly, and they did it. They simply did it. We are Sac State. We're proud Hornets. We're proud of what we're doing. And we know what our mission is, and that is to teach and to educate and to help people become better citizens, and that's what our faculty are doing.
Isn't it interesting that Sac State used to be considered a commuter college, which meant coming to campus but then leaving, being at a distance? And now we're in sort of the 2020 version of being a commuter, a technology commuter. How strong a response have you had from students? How much of the student body is in class as they would be this spring?
The students are fully engaged. They are in their virtual classes. They're learning. We're getting information from them all the time. This afternoon, we're going to have an Out of Darkness walk. It will be a virtual walk, and we've got just literally thousands of students that will be participating in it for suicide prevention. So we're still a Hornet family and a Hornet campus.
Say a bit more about the virtual walk, because it might be something that people from everywhere, not just Sac State, want to participate in.
It starts at 4 o'clock today, and if you want to find out about it, it's Out of Darkness CSUS. If you can go to our webpage and you can look it up. We begin at 4 with a poster party, so where you do working together and do a poster for whom you're going to walk for. And then we bring in other people and start joining here. And we have a challenge for everyone to bring in 5 friends to be able to walk with them virtually. And then we've got some videos that will take place. And then we'll start FaceTiming, and we'll use Instagram, and we'll be talking to each other and really reaching out. And then even though it's virtual, we'll be hugging each other.
Hmm. Well, I know this is important to you and your wife, Jody. It's the 9th annual. To pull back in a broader sense, tell me about the CSU system being connected in policy decisions in terms of construction projects that might have been happening, the summer school plans, which are now online, and what to do about graduation.
Every day at 4 o'clock, all 23 presidents and the chancellor get together via Zoom for an hour to an hour and a half. And we talk through what's happened during the day and what's going to happen tomorrow. So it may be a discussion about credit, no credit grades. It may be a discussion about what we're going to do with the ACT and SAT as the new class comes in from high school, or it may be about graduation and what a virtual graduation ceremony will be about. We talk it through. We come up with decisions. I've seen quicker decisions than I've ever seen in academia, because we've had to move quickly to be able to meet the needs of our students. We're now in the midst of talking about construction, and we have an April 17th deadline to look at all of our construction projects and figure out what can go forward and what can't go forward. So decisions are being made jointly and quickly.
Where is there a gap right now? Obviously, we have students and professors not seeing each other and being together. What else are you concerned about that needs to be addressed?
I'm always concerned about mental health, and I'm concerned about our individual students. When we're here on campus, we can support each other very easily. When we're off campus, it's more difficult. I am truly proud of our advisors and what they are doing. They're reaching out and trying to touch as many students as they can. You know, this is different. This is not something that's expected. Our faculty, they came here to Sac State because they wanted to teach. They wanted to be face-to-face. Now they don't have that opportunity. So I want to support them in every way that I can, and I really do believe that they're doing excellent work.
What's happening with the residence halls, students who needed or wanted to be on campus? And then let's do say something about what you're projecting for the fall.
In the residence halls right now, we only have 323 students that are left. We actually did a count yesterday to see how many people were there. These are people who didn't have a place to go. They're too far away. They needed to have some sort of stability, and so they've chosen to stay here. We still have meal services for them. We are moving them into two halls so that they can socially distance themselves from each other and just have, whereas you sometimes have four people sharing an apartment, now there's only one person in each place. So they're doing well. They've got the courtyard market, and I think they're, you know, you can see them exercising, and so they're doing all right. For the fall, we're in the midst of talking about what we're going to do in the fall. We're just finishing up summer right now. We're going online for the summer. We've announced that. We've selected classes of what we're going to do. We've come up with a grading scheme for everyone that does include no credit, credit, A, B, C, no credit, different options for our students, because this is a different world in which they're living and the like. We should have within the next 3 weeks a plan for the fall. I think that we will be fully at our numbers that we were last year, so we're expecting about 31,000 students to come here again. I hope it's not going to be online. I hope it's going to be face-to-face. But if it needs to be online, we're prepared to be able to do that.
Do you have any COVID-positive cases among your student body or campus staff?
No, we have no COVID-positive cases at all. We socially distanced very quickly. We have not had anybody on campus for now for over 3 weeks. Not anybody. Very, very few bodies on campus. And so we've been very proactive in what we're trying to do.
Well, I thank you for joining us. I think the Out of the Darkness walk is important every year, but this year it may mean even more in terms of a chance for people just to be together, of course, in the suicide prevention and awareness effort, but just to have another way to share each other's presence, right?
I totally agree with you, Beth. I think this is a chance for us to come together as a family and to support each other.
Thank you so much. All the best to everyone on the Sac State campus and to you and Jody as well.
Stingers up.
That's Dr. Robert Nelson, president of Sacramento State. Let's move over to Chico State. We're joined by Chico State President Dr. Gail Hutchinson. Dr. Hutchinson, thanks so much for joining us today and taking time to be on Insight.
Good morning, Beth, and thanks for having me on the call.
What's happening on your campus right now with the continuation of this spring semester? And there's a laptop loaner program that's quite interesting.
Yes. Well, as you know, we also went virtual beginning on March 25th, and soon thereafter decided that we would be virtual to the end of the semester. We knew that it was important for our students to be engaged, and were that for those students who didn't have laptops, we tried to make them available. So we were able to collect over 200 laptops, recondition them, and make them available for students and for faculty, for that matter. And we also collected quite a few hotspots. So for those students and faculty who had difficulty with connectivity, we were able to get them connected to the best of our ability.
Your school's in a unique situation because many students experienced the campfire directly or indirectly. There was displacement and adjustment that's still going on. How did that equip you in some ways for what we're all in the midst of right now?
I would say, unfortunately, it equipped us very well. So I guess there's something positive that comes out of challenges and crises. So with the campfire, we had to enact our emergency operations center and embrace and lean in to tackle the adversity we were faced with in terms of working to make sure our students, our faculty, our staff were safe and that we provided for them and helped them through. We also have been a community leader and a community partner as the region emerges from the campfire. And now to have this pandemic upon us, I think we were able to enact our emergency operations sooner, more efficiently and effectively, and go through our methodology of making tough decisions, I think, faster, which, again, there are two principles we operate by. One is the safety and health of our students, faculty, and staff, and community. And second is to advance the education mission of Chico State. So now we find ourselves in a term that I know a lot of the disaster leaders in the country are using, and that is a term about layered disaster management. So we find ourselves still emerging from the campfire and also working our way through the pandemic.
Are you, by your own measure, doing enough for your students right now? And I guess the flip side of that is, do students need more? And Dr. Nelson mentioned in terms of mental health, in terms of resources, maybe something as basic as food and shelter. Do you feel like you're doing enough at this point?
I feel like we're doing as much as we can possibly do. So I first want to say that the faculty and staff have stepped up, and they've are engaged in Herculean effort every day to make sure that we provide delivery of our instruction online for our students and also services they need. So we put all of our courses, like everyone else, we put all of our courses online in a very short period of time, and providing support to the best of our ability for both students and faculty to help give them tips on how they might engage in either delivering their courses better, or for students, how they might organize for courses better. So let me just give you an example. We have what's called a Keep Learning website for students, which is great. And it provides all kinds of online support for students as they engage with Blackboard or other online platforms. We also have a number of distance learning students who have offered up tips to help their fellow students learn how to organize and manage not only the amount of coursework they have, but maybe even work around family responsibilities and work that they have.
Yeah, that's great when the peer support happens. That's such a powerful assistance. Yeah.
We love it. And we put all of our advising is in a virtual format, and our mental health is also virtual as well. So I think we're doing quite well.
All right. Two quick questions. Is summer school online at your campus?
Yes. Summer school is virtual.
Okay.
And we're all set and ready to rock and roll.
Okay. What about graduation?
And graduation, we are having that conversation right now. Earlier this month, we said, hey, we're going to maybe push it back. But now we're working toward having a virtual commencement. And I will have details on that coming out next week.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time and the update, President Hutchinson.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate it.
That is Dr. Gail Hutchinson, president of Chico State. And finally, let's check in with the community college experience. On the phone is Los Rios Chancellor Dr. Brian King. Dr. King, glad to have you on Insight as well.
Good morning, Beth. It is a great opportunity to share how proud I am of the amazing response of the Los Rios faculty, staff, and students to this unprecedented crisis.
So over four campuses, you have almost 75,000 students. That's American River College, Cosumnes River, Folsom Lake College, and Sac City College. What's happening? How much of the curriculum has stayed intact?
Well, it's a credit to our faculty that an overwhelming number of our courses are still being offered. And our community colleges were in a unique position as the pandemic swept across California, that about 20% of our classes were already online. So for California State University and University of California, they were not providing online instruction before the pandemic. So we had a bit of a head start that a substantial number of our courses were already online. And we were far and away the largest provider of online education among public higher education in the region before COVID-19. But the transition still was an immense challenge for us. We suspended in-person classes on March 13th and then reopened with fully remote operations on March 18th. So you think about the incredible number of hours that went into that for our faculty and staff. And both our instruction and student services are now 100% remote since March 18th.
With so many community college students transferring to a four-year school of some sort, there's quite a robust conversation right now about the pass or no pass, the pass-fail grading system and grading option. Where is the Los Rios District on this? And a little bit of background, if you wouldn't mind, on some of the debate that's happening.
It is a very important conversation, and the answers aren't easy. That is, as you noted, so many of our students transfer to Sacramento State and University of California, Davis, and our faculty and staff are exploring the options for students, making sure that whatever decision we make increases alternatives for students and doesn't have a negative impact. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, that some students will be better off with a grade for their transfer, and some students could have a negative impact if they take a pass-fail. So we have not reached a final decision on what we think is best for our students, but a lot of important conversations going on.
Is there assistance right now for students on the four campuses, and in what ways are you able to bridge some gaps?
I really appreciate that question, because the pandemic, not just in higher education, but across our country, really has shown a light on some of the challenges for the most vulnerable people in our society, and that's true of our students as well. Our community college students are serving first-generation immigrants and people from a working-class background trying to improve their lives. So the transition to remote instruction can have the greatest negative impact on students who don't have computers, they don't have broadband access, or they don't have a place at home where they have a quiet space to study. So our colleges have done just an amazing job of distributing hundreds of laptops, probably over 1,000 laptop computers, before we went to remote operation. So more laptops distributed by our four colleges by far than had ever happened in the history of our district. And we've worked really hard to help students find those free hotspots throughout the community or to provide hotspots so they can have broadband access to continue their work. And I know that the CAP radio listeners and the listeners to Insight want to know what they can do to help students who are struggling with food insecurity. They're struggling to pay their rent. They're struggling to pay a broadband bill. And I would really encourage people to go to the Los Rios Foundation at foundation.losrios.edu. If you go to the website, the first thing you'll see is the Student Emergency Fund. And $25, $50, any sort of contribution to the Student Emergency Fund will go directly to our students, whether it is to provide a food card for those who have needs or to help them with technology needs or rent. So there is a very tangible way that everyone could step up and help fill that gap that has been exposed during this crisis.
I think that's such a wonderful message to leave everybody with. Dr. King, I'm so glad you could join us today. Good luck to you and to everybody that is keeping those four campuses and your system just humming along.
Thank you. Be safe and well.
You too. That's Dr. Brian King, Chancellor of the Los Rios Community College District. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our uplift gives us a lesson in using Zoom, which you might want to do with your family this weekend. So stay with us. This is Insight on CAP Radio.